Yeah. You know what we smoking on? Light it up, a telebon. Flexing with the super strong, puffing like a smoke a thong. Gotta cut a smoke alarm, throw smoke rings at the throat like a water gun. You know word like a sing along. Set it, let it be like a bet you betting on. It's the bud throne that I'm sitting on. Phone it in like a telethon. When it's said and done, everyone wanna be puffing like a smoke a thong. We be puffing like a smoke a thong. We be puffing like a smoke a thong. Puffing like a smoke a thong.
You ever see something so true that you couldn't unsee it? Something that you just knew would serve you. Whether it be self-awareness, plant medicine, a lover, a career. That's what we get down to here. Welcome to Disciplined Stoners, the gateway drug to mindfulness. Spark up or don't, and enjoy the show. Glad you're here.
Welcome back to another episode of Disciplined Stoners.
I'm your host, Eleven.
My name is Winnie,
and we are the gateway drug to mindfulness.
And today, yo,
we got the B&Bs in the flesh.
What? How are you even here? Is this an illusion? Are we high on psychedelics?
It was like we looked at the live stream, the Tuesday live stream, and then their faces burst through into reality. If you don't know, you will know. We can get into who they are individually, but put your joints up for you. Got an intro in your mind? We love these.
You've seen them on social media.
You've seen them at Can Expo.
They're making waves in the cannabis industry like no other. They're pioneers.
Changing history.
Legends. Please welcome.
Founders Camp Canna.
Blunts and Beans. And Jolene and Alexis.
Yes, individually.
Individually.
Welcome.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a long day, and there was part of me for sure that was like, maybe we just don't do this, you know?
And made it happen, man.
I'm so glad that you are.
So glad you're here in Toronto.
We're so glad you guys invited us to be here in Toronto, in your living room.
Oh my God, welcome to the living room. Sometimes it's here, sometimes it's at the Meadow Milky Way. We have two spaces that we shoot at.
And we're so close. We were all setting up today on the Enercare grounds, which is right there. So we're close.
We are.
Yeah. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You just traveled like yesterday, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Across the country.
I appreciate you for working on Alberta time for us. I know it's late for you here.
All right. Every time I go to Alberta and it's like midnight, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like totally fine. It's because it's 10 my time, right?
Yeah. And then we're here and we're like, oh my God, it's 2 a.m.
2 a.m.
It's reverse. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's in the mornings when I wake up.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, when I wake up at like 7. I'm like, look at me. I'm so good. Oh, you guys wake up at 7 every day, don't you?
Yeah, kids. Today was really good, though. We got here late last night, super late. It's like we landed at midnight, and then all of a sudden it was 3 a.m. After you get from the airport to the Airbnb and such. But, yeah, it was super long.
Did you do WestJet?
Always.
I know.
Don't cheat on WestJet.
I know. I love our love for WestJet.
WestJet, sponsor the show. High flyers. We can do a whole campaign.
Imagine.
Oh, my God. We could fly to somewhere where it's legal, like Thailand or
from Canada.
Jamaica.
Yeah.
Or Germany.
Yeah, I want to go to Spanibus next year.
Totally, I know.
We have to go. The fact that we didn't go this year is
we all wanted to be there, and we should have been there.
Yeah, we should have.
You know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, okay, so
it crept up. It crept up. Yeah. All of a sudden, because I had that idea last summer. I was like, Spanavis for sure. Mm-hmm. March for sure. And then with Can Expo and stuff, it was just like, I didn't even know what was going on until people were already on planes.
I priced out packages, though. $1,100. Really nice hotel with a pool, like down the street, with the flights included for like a day extra on the front and the back. That's not that bad to go to Spain.
Yeah.
That's huge. You'd be doing that work to do research too.
Or WestJet can just sponsor us.
Can we give, for those of you that don't know Blunts and Beans and the cool work that they're doing, I just want to give people a little context of how and why we're friends and this cool blossoming partnership in Canadian media of cannabis and stuff, and just and give them some insight to that. So you guys are Blunts and Beans, and you do these incredible events called Camp Canna, and you are executing like a mini series at Can Expo this weekend, and you're doing your first one because you had a very successful one or two, or how many in Alberta?
Two
yeah. Now, and you're doing the first one in Ontario. Mm-hmm. So, like, how did this come alive? Like, we do a weekly live stream called Tuesday because we all got thrown in this beautiful mix of Can Expo last year together. So, shout out Catherine and Kelly and like y'all and Can Expo and like us bringing so many cool people together, and we've blossomed this friendship across the country together. I love it. I appreciate you guys. I want to honor that, and I'm so glad we have it in person. But tell us a little bit about the work you're doing.
Yeah, well, we started out 3 years ago. We're best friends, first and foremost.
You can tell. Look at the suits.
We were always just hanging out, smoking weed and drinking coffee and looking after the kids. And
kids, moms, your moms.
Yeah, and then COVID happened, and I was in between jobs at the time. I bought my house, and I wasn't doing anything, and I'm a bit of a workaholic.
Mm-hmm. Like many people, we were both
home. Everybody was really at home, and we were like, we ran out of coffee. I'm pretty sure that's what stemmed it all. We ran out of coffee, and we're like, imagine if there was like a wake and bake, like, to your house. Like, we should open a Blunts and Beans where you could just go and order cannabis and coffee and just smoke it there and just
They're the best combo, the undefeated combo.
But not only that, as two moms during COVID going into town, you couldn't just pop into the dispensary with your kids and get coffee and cannabis without looking like you left your dog in the car too long and someone wants to break a window. Do you know what I mean? So we thought, wouldn't it be cool if someone could just bring that to our door, since the legal landscape at the time didn't allow for such a physical location to be.
Yeah, so we started doing subscription boxes and then found out that it was actually the experience of the wake and bake that we enjoyed, and providing experiences to people that we enjoyed, and how can we have a space that allows for this. And the government, I called them so many times.
She called the government, y'all. People are out here trying to dodge the government. And she's like, no, I want to talk about drugs, please.
Yeah. Listen, if you're going to make the rules, we want to know all the aspects of your rules so we know how we can help you make better rules.
And I'm help find the line. Like, I just want to know where the line is. So I called and I was like, hey, I want to open a coffee shop that serves cannabis. They're like, haha. And I was like, well, why not? Why don't we have that? Well, cannabis is legal now. That's silly. Why don't we have this? And they were like, well, we just don't know what happens when you serve cannabis to people.
Yeah, you do.
But at the time, like, they like really don't have any.
They don't, but
unbiased serve or like studies. Any information studies.
So
right?
We had a light bulb moment.
Mm-hmm. And we were like, let's just host events and gather data. And then we'll tell you what happens, because we already know.
It's good vibes. That's what happens.
Exactly. It always is. This started through basically asking questions.
Yeah.
And wanting to provide what they were inquisitive about, or what they said there was a lack of information. You're actually creating a study by throwing an event.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to have this place, and we believe that everyone deserves to have places they can go to and feel welcome and enjoy cannabis with their community.
Mm-hmm. What do you got rolled up over there?
If we can't do it today, how can we do it?
Yeah, big.
Is that coffee shop still like a North Star for you?
I think our journey has evolved over time. Like, where before we dreamed of like a brick and mortar like space, it's like, now how can I lead that environment to be the goal for cannabis tourism? Because I think that my personal goal with this has grown farther than just a store in a town. I would like to lead the Canadian cannabis industry's culture in a way to have an inclusive environment that has dignified consumption and elevated social responsibility. We're not just here to get fucked up. We're here to, you know, do what
after
we consume, right? And so I think that, like, somehow it's just evolved, or I've been downloaded with this vision of what it can be. And with doing Camp Canna, we created a framework that is hopefully easily copy and pastable in other provinces that can show other people what a cannabis event should be, because we were a little upset showing up to events that were held at bars, or like, you know, wait a minute, is this a cannabis event or am I sitting at a bar? I'm confused.
Yeah. Or am I out back in the alley not able to see anything?
How can you sell stocks of this thing but then not be able to go to a reasonable establishment and at least have your way of life respected so you can embrace? I know you find yourself in the, next to the dumpster way too often. Mm-hmm. You got nice shoes on too. You just feel like smoking a fucking blunt instead of pounding a vodka tonic. It's weird.
And I think a lot of people put back onto the we can't. Well, we can't yet. It's not legal
but
yet.
Well, no, yes, no, we fucking can. Watch me. Pass me that lighter. Like,
and in a reasonable way, too, that's not so crazy where we're not looking at the regulations and the guidelines and finding a way that we can weave through those positively to then build on that foundation to a better environment.
Mm-hmm. So that's that patience that y'all got, because I just be bumping this like fucking fuck.
Yeah, that's what obviously you're doing so well, is that like you're abiding by everything, so when they come to you they can't say shit. Mm-hmm. And that's like,
and you start
for most I think for most especially like legacy community, they don't want to do that. They're like, we've been pushing and fighting for so long, and like the rules have always been bullshit, and now they're still bullshit, and like they don't want to like play by those rules. Mm-hmm. And there is something extremely wise in being like, here, let me give you all of the information that you require so you can then create laws that suit me better. Mm-hmm. Like, it's what you're doing is really interesting, and it's definitely like pioneering the industry forward
and being a documented voice for the community, because like even like myself, I'm not gonna sit down and write a letter or find a number and call it, and like you're actually doing that work, and that's what the system really wants to see. I think the system has the potential to be a lot less biased. I think it's not even as biased as we even paint it. Mr. Conspiracy over here. Hey, thanks, Ralph. Perfect. dropped the bone on that one. You got a devil horn. But yeah, maybe that's wrong. Maybe that was the universe speaking through. They're like, no, it's a bias system. but you're taking the steps to actually make it like work for us. And that's huge. So appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for doing that work.
At the end of the day, we can all be upset, and we can know that the rules in a lot of ways are bullshit, and how the culture is going to prosper, and how it could have been if they got us all in a room together. But unfortunately, we weren't blessed with that scenario. Mm-hmm. So now we have the steps. We'll take the steps.
Can you bless me with one of those Godfather joints, though?
And it's kind of like the cannabis industry is sort of like a 16-year-old getting their license, right? Yeah, like, you don't get your license and you're like, I'm going to drive to Toronto tomorrow, you know? Like, your parents would be like, well, wait a minute, like, maybe drive around the block a few times before you leave the town. And
are you the ones that told us about the study on cannabis drivers and like how
at university actually in the States did a huge study, and they took people who consume cannabis every day all day, people who consume recreationally, and people who have never consumed in their life, and they did a bunch of stats on them when it came to driving, their reaction time, their vision, and they actually found out that the recreational users sucked at driving after they did smoke. They were a little slower. The people who had never consumed, it was not their best interest to drive, but actually your everyday consumer, they were fine. They didn't get any hits on the study, and that's why they're having such a hard time, I feel, when it comes to consumption limits, regulating it, if we were to roll out a basic thing, because every human is different. Every strain of cannabis is different. It's going to hit you different. So depending what you're trying to achieve when you consume or medicate, should be your end goal of what you are taking into your body.
They really need to be consulting, like, industry educators like Joe Hash or, like, people who, like, really have been doing this for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And they kind of just need to trust those people. Like,
well, to they know. Have the data. It's just in their brain.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we know. Like, we know, right? Like, you're right into that study. Like, I feel better driving high. Like, I'm just less anxious as a person if I'm high.
Me too.
But, like, I'm not going to take a bunch of edibles and a dab and drive. I know that. But I am going to smoke a joint probably while driving. But, like, it's only going to make me better. Mm-hmm. I know. Maybe I shouldn't say it out loud, but oh well. It's, like, it's only going to make me more focused and better. It's like sipping a coffee. So, you're right. There's this weird trust involved in self-medicating or self-dosing or diagnosing basically what you have. And, yeah, that's... I don't know. I don't know what the answer. There's not one answer for that.
Do you feel, though, that it took you a long time to figure out that, hey, maybe edibles weren't for me if I want to leave the house? Was that an
experience? Well, I do like to leave the house. I like to walk to a massage. Walk in the sun.
I do think, it takes...
Yeah, it takes time. You're right.
It takes some time to figure out what your dosing is. And that, like, can change, I think, over the course of your life.
So that's why it's like new users would be lying. They're like, I smoke all the time. And it's like, no, you don't. Like, so it's like, yeah, what's that line of intoxication? You're right. That's a weird one. Good
That's
conversation.
Why I think we got to shout out all the people who came before us and Big did time. Fight to be where we are today. But not only that, documented their findings so that we could build off of that. Because we're so blessed today. You have Crohn's disease. You can jump online and find strains that could help you with your gastrointestinal disorders, right? Or if you have ADHD.
If you have disease, even helping insulin resistance. Like, they found a component in cannabis that helps, like, balance your blood sugars, which I think is really cool, especially for people that have PCOS, like women that have insulin resistance. Like, that's something that can help with that, too. And as they study more, they're finding more, and it just, like, becomes this solution. But the big misstep or the big, like, why don't we have this from the government is some sort of serving certificate. So we have a budtender's license, right, if you're retail, if you're selling cannabis. And if you were working in a bar, you would have, like, a liquor store, like, the beer ProServe, right? And if you're serving alcohol, Smart you would have a ProServe or Smart Serve, yeah. And that would, like, give you a how many ounces you can give somebody per hour before you are liable because you've over-served them. They don't have anything like that for cannabis, but it's been 5 years. So where are we on this? Are we going to have something like that? Because even alcohol affects everybody differently. Like, I cannot have 3 ounces of alcohol in an hour and function. Like, that's not me. I never drink.
Yeah. I'm no, that's down, like, tilt. 3 shots?
No,
are you
way.
Out?
And so really, like, I think because it's 3 ounces per hour is what you base alcohol on, that is quite a level of intoxication for people that don't consume. So there has to be some sort of window.
True.
And right. I think that could be applied to cannabis pretty easily.
Right.
And so I think more people just need to pick up the phone and call the people and be like, hey, like, how close are we to this? Is anybody talking about it? Because if they get 100 phone calls a day, they can't say, sorry, we'll call you back to 100 different people. You know, it's just like we're so strong if we just, like, unify our voices. And
use your voice. So who
I'm
going
to be totally honest. Yeah. Like, I don't know who to call.
Who do we call? The MP?
I called. Yeah, you could call your MP.
What does that mean?
MP, that's a good one.
You have to remember that it starts at the federal government, then it goes to your province or territory, and then it goes to your municipality. So every municipality has an MLA running it, and that's who you can contact.
MLA means what?
Your municipal
leader of assembly.
Oh, okay.
Question mark?
Oh.
I think that's right.
Fuck,
I don't know.
Check that.
Anna.
Jesse, Jamie.
I used to work in the food and beverage industry as, like, a server, as a bartender, but way in a past life, like, way.
Us too.
Yeah. And if you want to host an event and serve alcohol at it, you call your provincial, in Alberta, you call AGLC, which is, like, your provincial.
Like your OCS.
Board. And you have to get a liquor license from them. So with Camp Canna, I called them. And I was like, hey, I want to get a cannabis license. I'm serving cannabis at my event. And they were like, no, you're not. That's not a thing. You can't do that. And I was like, oh, why not? And just, like, silly member of legislative assembly. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
You're the best, Jesse. Thank you.
This is a dream come
Jesse
true.
Jesse Paul, yeah.
And so once I found out that it didn't exist there, like, that becomes a federal question, provincial question, but also municipal. Like, why is the municipality not allowing this sort of thing? And so at which level are you going to get a breakthrough, really? You have to attack all three. And they all approach the situation differently. Like, federal will approach it differently than a provincial government. So for me, I call AGLC, I call my municipal leader. My municipal leader will help me do something in that area specifically. My provincial leader will help me change the rules that overcast what the municipal leader is allowed to do. Or at least guide us, because that was our biggest saving grace, is that shout out Phyllis from AGLC. Like, she's the best. We call
Phyllis.
Her. We call
Phyllis.
Her, and
what
she,
you talking about, Phyllis?
I was like, Phyllis, this is what I want to do. I want to have a cannabis festival. I want people to be smoking weed anywhere on it. I want it to be, like, freely just allowed. And
she
she's like,
it.
Okay, well, you can do it if it's this, if it's that, if you do this. And I think that even just that, even though it's hoops she's giving us, the hoops are real, but she's giving us hoops, you know, like, okay, they're there and it exists. And she shows us in the act where it exists. And that kind of helps, especially Jolene's brain works that way. My brain doesn't. I'll pick up the phone and ask Jolene to, like, read the act. And I'm like, I can't do that.
I think it's also important to remember, like, even when it comes to Health Canada, as scary as it can be getting an email or a phone call from them, at the end of the day, it's their job to help bring you to the light.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to give you all the fines because that's not helping them grow forward. So let's educate you and let's help you become compliant now, mm-hmm, and work from there.
So what's this course you've been taking for the last year?
Well, in the fall I did cannabis marketing. So it was just the ins and outs of the Cannabis Act when it comes to marketing for legal brands. And now I've been following up on the quality control aspects of it.
Oh,
all.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's just a lot of regulation reading.
But in a past life, Jolene,
it makes me do this.
Your lawyer brain.
But also at the end of the day, if we're going to be talking to these people and I can't cite in the act or the regulation of how this is compliant and why this is compliant and feel good in my heart knowing that that's what it is, we're not going to get anywhere.
That's exactly right. And basically, we're because we're associated with them, we operate and we think the same way. So I'm also involved.
Well, you know what they say, the people you involve at your
dream
table
team,
not only are a reflection of you, but how you can grow forward. So we're all growing together.
That sounds so gangster, everything you just said. That's what we need to do, because obviously I've been around, like, legacy weed, even just like as a freestyle rapper, and you hear so... I have sat and listened to so many people spit their dreams of, like, liberation at me, right? And I love that, and I want that dream kept it alive. I've never seen someone do the work to actually make it happen.
Yeah, I think we're a little bit obsessed with you guys because we're like, you're actually doing it.
Yeah, it's like, no one wants to do that.
I just want to shout out my mother-in-law, my husband's mom.
What?
She's the best. So pre-legalization, shout out to Kim.
Shout out Kim.
Hey, Kim.
We had a head shop together.
No way.
And
when I first
met
Jolene,
people would line up out the door to see mom. And it wasn't to come in and buy anything. And I'm like, mom, like, we got to pay rent. The power's due. Like, come on, baby. These people aren't buying anything. They're talking to you. But then actually taking a moment to step back and absorb what was going on. She's a registered nurse. She loves cannabis. They were lining up out the door to come and talk to her and just ask her questions about cannabis. And how can we get our ACMPR, which in Alberta, that's when you're medical, you can grow for yourself. And, you know, we walked through those steps and it was mind-blowing to me, even pre-legalization, how many people wanted this education and they just couldn't get it.
Fuck.
Shout out Kim and the lineup at the info desk that you become when you know about the plant. That's
and word
incredible.
Spreads, right? Like, it
you
started
should
have been
with charging
one
those motherfucking people.
What
five
happened
bucks
to
question.
This head shop?
Legalization, no.
Yeah, pre-legalization, when we heard legalization hit, we debated getting a dispensary and having a dispensary and a head shop across the street from each other.
Mm.
But we decided that the dispensaries would eventually become the head shop and it would just be an oversaturated market. So we just pulled out pre-legalization and moved on to our next adventures.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
To me, it was surprising because I didn't really know this. Like, I've always just been, like, Jolene has had a head shop, so she knew, you know, she was in it.
And I've been a medicinal patient, yeah. Legacy, like, I've been, mm-hmm. you know, but I was, don't smoke when you're young, but I was smoking when I was very young, and I didn't realize it at the time, but it was because of my Crohn's disease. Oh, and fuck. It was helping so much. And when you're young, you didn't realize. You're like, yeah, I'm going to smoke one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But now, looking back, it was a journey, and me and cannabis have always been intertwined, and it was just a tiny seed back in the day. Even when we were kids, we go to the Crohn's group, would meet up of the kids who had Crohn's, and we'd go to the research facilities, and they'd show us what they were doing, like, back with cannabis, way pre-legalization.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So it's just always been a building point for me.
And, like, where I've... was, like, kind of consuming in the closet when I met Jolene, still, kind of, you know? So, like, even just, like, when we started Blunts and Beans, like, I had no idea the industry was like this. I had no idea that people were, like, struggling or they were so narrow and restrictive. And it was just, like, unjust to me. Like, this is an injustice. Like, we need to fix this. This is insane. And I just, like, this is how I think our journey has just evolved, because we talk to somebody new and we love them because they're amazing humans, and we find out that they put their entire, like, family home on the line just to make us a pre-roll, and then they can lose it all in, like, one sanction or one overdue excise tax or one anything. And it's just, like, to me, it's like, man,
it's heartbreaking.
What can we do to help? Like, that there has to be something we can do. And I think, honestly, like, hosting events right now is the solution to the promotion, like, ban on promotions and marketing, and not being able to actually share your story or actually educate consumers, or, you know, actually show somebody what you do after you consume.
I share that exact same passion with you. That's what I talk about. Like, the people, when you meet them putting taking out a second mortgage on their home, exactly, mm-hmm. so they can grow some weed and sell it and, like, go straight. A lot of people coming from legacy. Mm-hmm. And that's what's, like, that's what I love what you're doing with events. I feel that way about content. I feel like media, because it's like, I explain this to people. I'm like, any brand is feeling of culture. A CEO who doesn't think that their data is going to be affected by, like, buying choices because of cultural influence is just, like, they just don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, every choice is that story. Molson. Who would choose to drink a Molson? It's hockey. It means hockey. Mm-hmm. If you grew up in Canada, Molson hockey night, you get ba-dum-ba-dum. Oh, man, it's in there. It's in there, like Coca-Cola and Christmas and polar bears. Why the fuck does that happen? That fucking campaign on a sexy man's chest literally proved my fucking point. I am Canadian. That was a beer commercial. Yeah. Cannabis is not allowed, it seems. I love that moment. Oh, my God.
I know. I wish we would have gotten
there was
that.
No we got to get that as a B shot after. We got to get that pull up. That was fucking gorgeous. So cannabis, they think that their story isn't allowed to be told because they can't directly come out and say, I'll meet you at the keg. Mm-hmm. They can't come out and just directly, they've, you know, in their guidelines, I don't know the actual rules about them building some sort of, like, subtext kind of campaign. I think Simply Bear does a pretty good job of a lifestyle presentation that targets their demographic pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I am interested in the story of the who, right? Like, that's my first beer with that. I can smell the, like, cheapness of the Canadian, like, you know, and the hockey game on. Like, it all exists there cerebrally. So, like, Black Market is I want to hear it tell the story of more of the refined, like, they could have a fucking Dos Equis man, you know, but, like, content can be done through what you're figuring out through hosting events, Blunts and Beans, the power we hold as a third party, as this one's owners, with podcast, with content, with creative assets, with remixes, with just you creating a skit with a product where it is in usage, it is in activity, it's in flow of being high, the way you tell the story at the events, like, let's smoke weed and, you know, you answer that question. And, like, it's really special. You're right. It's an important role for us to step up and play if we can see those dots. Mm-hmm. Because you're right. I think they feel trapped, and I think they've also put everything up, and I think their margins are brutal, especially even retailers. Like, we know friends who are retailers, like 1922, who's on the show, what they've gone through to keep their shop open. For you to cop that eighth on the block, you know, what they fucking, yeah, how many hoops they had to jump. So, well, I agree.
At this point in legalization, though, we are seeing, like, the people who got in it for the money pull out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, over the course of the last couple years.
Yeah, 5 years.
Probably.
Leases
are coming up. Yeah. Yeah. So, it is going to be cool moving forward knowing that mm-hmm. most of the people you come across in the industry
are real deal.
Want to be here.
I think the whys are showing right now. I think that, you know, if you don't have a powerful why that you're, like, passionate about, like, you're not going to last here.
Yeah. And then
you have to be passionate about it because this industry is way too hard.
Yeah.
It is way too hard to not be 100% sold, burning your boats all in, because you have to. It's just, you can't. It's too negative. And to share your life passion with somebody, you know, there has to be a space in order to do that too. And I think that that's where, like, you know, even retailers, they're bound by, like, things that they can do. You can't host a customer appreciation barbecue and let people consume the cannabis, like, as a what? Like, yeah. It's just crazy. So I think that hopefully it changes as these other maybe not as aligned company owners or industry members shift out, but
I think just the trick is in doing it. I think, like, we had an event in the back of Sticky Nugs, and, like, all good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, like, a back area. It was outside. There was consumption. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a gray area mm-hmm. here. And we just did it. And, like, it was fine. It's mm-hmm. like Spirit Leaf does a comedy show, too, like, in the back area. So it's really just about doing it and realizing, oh, that's mm-hmm. okay.
Like, it can be really scary, though, when everything that you've worked your entire life for is on the line in that gray area. And that's why, mothers, I feel like we did make those phone calls, because we knew about the gray area. We knew all about it. And we love that baby. But because we had babies at home that needed us to be with them every night, and we didn't want people coming back on us, we had to make those phone calls. Mm-hmm.
You, like, double confirmed.
I think the craziest phone call I did was I called the police.
Somebody called the police.
What? How did this conversation go, Alexis?
I called the RCMP.
On yourself.
And I was like, hey, I'm going to host a cannabis festival in the summer. And I have some people that are wanting to be vendors, and I'm just not quite sure where the line is. So I was hoping I could explain a few scenarios to you, and you tell me if there's any criminal implications to these.
I love that. What a wonderful, honest approach.
He couldn't answer them.
Of course.
He had to send me off to a different dispatch to speak to a higher up police officer that knew how the cannabis law works, because he didn't know.
So you did when you explained to him what you were looking for, mm-hmm. did he from that point be like, oh, no, I'm not the guy? Or did you, okay,
right
cool.
away.
Right away.
Like, he was like, nah. I'm not the guy for you. Then, so I call the guy calls me back. I had to leave a voicemail. He calls me back. I was like, hey, like, this is the scenario. I went to the store. I bought some legal weed. I brought it home. I made some brownies. I gave it to my neighbor. Have I broken any laws? No. He says, no, that's totally fine. Okay, my neighbor would like to reimburse me for the cost of the brownies. He would like the rest of them. He loved them so much. Have I broken any laws? Yes, now you're trafficking. Like, it's so extreme right
away. What if
away.
He just reimburses you for the non-cannabis materials in the brownies?
It's the money transfer. The second money goes from one hand to the other. When anything that has been infused goes from one hand to the other, it's trafficking. And I was like, okay, now imagine you're at a cannabis festival.
Was he laughing? Were you laughing?
I was so serious. talking to the police.
Now remember that drug, remember that trafficking stuff we were just talking about? Now close your eyes. You're in a cannabis festival.
So you're in a cannabis festival, and somebody walked up to you and handed you a brownie. Has there been any laws broken? He's like, no, you're allowed to gift cannabis. He's like talking to me like, you know, like you're allowed to gift
cannabis.
But
I want to hear you say it.
Did you record this conversation?
No, I took notes.
But they were.
They were. And I was like, what if you were sold a brownie at the cannabis festival? He's like, that person would be trafficking and you would be conspiring.
Oh, shit.
That's a big one. That's like a, that's a super big one. Yeah. Super big, super bad. And I was like, wow, this is so insane. Why is it like this? I think you should be able to buy, you know, like if somebody made something at home, it's no different than making a bottle of wine. If I want to reimburse you for your time and labor, you know what I mean? It just, like, to me, it didn't make sense. I didn't know that there's still rules on that too. But so now, the goal in that exact moment was I want guests at Camp Canada to be able to buy cannabis on site. So we had to, like, work with them.
Go through a retailer.
Delivery available. Yeah. And now this year they just changed the legislation. We can have a retailer set up their entire store product at Camp Canada for people to buy and purchase right there.
That's what's
up. That's amazing. And do you need a type of permit for that?
Yeah, so what they do is they apply for an extension of their license. So then that portion of your event becomes their actual store. Like, that's where their license is. And it's amazing. There's it's still narrow and restrictive, but like it's still something, and it's in the right direction. And this is only our third year. Like that's, it only took 3 years of like, hey, where's the line? Okay, I'm on it. Any chance you could move that line? This is kind of uncomfortable.
Oh my god.
And then another movie
still leads somewhere.
Yeah. Is it a big financial investment for the retail store to extend their business?
No, you just have to apply.
It's like a permit cost.
Yeah, you have to just apply. Yeah, just a regular application fee. It's not a lot. I don't think it's actually any money. Really.
Okay, nice.
I don't think.
I immediately
You do have to have on-site security if you're staying, like Camp Can is a 3-day event. So if they're going to have, they can only still operate during regular hours,
like a store.
Within regulation.
And they have to have the product in an industrial locked area. And they have to have security there round the clock if they're closed and leaving product on site. So for us, for Camp Canada, they're just going to load the product up and bring it back to the store every night. No big deal. And I think that, you know, helps the cost, because having around the clock security off site.
Way better. Drive it back home for the night. Tuck it in.
And boring. Imagine sitting outside the door at a
What are you doing tonight?
Sober. Yeah.
Fuck that. If you do
they
security.
They probably love it, actually. Yeah.
I don't know. Our security guards seem pretty happy every year.
Yeah, they are. They love it. That's they do awesome. Love it.
Mm. Yeah. So people love high people.
They do.
That's a shirt.
People love high people. That's a good one. Oh, we were going to wear your shirts.
Oh, yeah.
We're
Thank
high.
You for those.
Yeah, they're so funny. Show me your doobies.
Yeah.
So good.
That's so awesome.
I'm glad you enjoy them.
Yeah, so Camp Can is this weekend. You flew into Toronto. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all that education you just gave us, though. Like, that's such a clip. Like, there's so many clips in there. But you flew in to Toronto for Can Expo.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, this has been so fun. Like, set up today.
Yeah.
Day one.
It's a blast. We're going to have so much fun.
You're like, oh, I fucking feel it. It's so good. Like, the setup is sick.
Yeah. It's like just a toe in the water, you know? Like, what we're doing at... Number one, I think it's so cool. Like, to everybody that has a booth at these types of things, like, to put together a booth is, like, a feat, you know?
Totally.
Setup is a feat. Like, there's full-on construction crews there today to put up
it
a booth.
It was crazy.
It was awesome. And, like, they have... I think that's such something to be proud of, you know, being able to do that at, like, Exhibition Place, this, like, amazing place that, you know,
world class.
Putting the event together is amazing, and I think that's something to be so cool, but, like, it was never a vision to have Camp Canada be, like, a booth. You know, I never thought of that. It's just one of those happy things where it's like, it just kind of happened. And you're like, this is so cool. And I love that this happened.
Yeah.
Because it's like you dip the toe in Camp Canada. It's like, just come get a taste and see what it's like. If you're like a little cautious, you want to dip your toe before you jump in.
And your section is so nice.
It's cute.
It's like the Mindful Corner. Mm-hmm. It's like there's, to me, there's like a bunch of dope booths and there's like four like draws to the floor.
Yeah.
And that's for sure the food stage, the tattoo, bus, that's there. That's all graffitied up.
And it has stars. Have you been inside it?
No.
It is so nice on the inside. It's got the star ceiling.
Oh my gosh.
I'm getting the Cam Can M tattoo to me.
That's gangster.
Yeah, for real.
Oh, that's amazing. It is so cute.
I'm going to get what The Rock said to me right
here.
Yeah.
Nice.
And yeah, your guys' corner. And then the main stage, of course, which is great.
And then the consumption land.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yes. Five draws. Wow. Yeah.
The stage looks
awesome.
There's
honestly
too.
So many draws. There's,
so many
a
draws.
Cannabis literacy library.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I just meant like big areas.
No, I
like,
know.
Yeah.
Like, those are the big areas.
Your guys' corner is like a big.
Start breaking it down into the little booths. Like there's a cannabis library of all different kind of books. It's a mini library. It's so cute.
The way
there's
you say library is cute.
It's true. I like it too.
There's so many amazing brands, LPs there.
Yeah, the booths look wicked.
Products,
royalties booth is sick.
The LPs there. Yeah. I can't wait to get a bracelet to match my necklace.
Yeah, I'm
going to
get something from her too.
Yeah, it's going to be so cool.
For sure.
It's going to be so fun.
I need a weed piece from Frankie.
And if you are there, you would know that Winnie is doing yoga.
Yeah.
11 a.m. every morning. It's going to be just like a cool little stretch. Mm-hmm. I packed my essential oils. Mm-hmm. I have pillow mist for the mats and blocks.
I'm just going to be laying there doing breath work.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be
you
great.
You don't have to do the yoga.
No. Yeah, you can just lie, have a nap.
I honestly didn't think that many people would utilize the yoga at Camp Canna. You're one that surprised me, honestly, because it was so early in the morning and they were up.
What like, time?
We have it at 9, because we have it before the sound bath. So you go do yoga in the trees and stuff.
I think that sounds because amazing. She's the night person and I'm the morning person. So you see how she
I
looked at
like,
me like, is it
I was
nine?
Like, I'm not quite sure Jolene's up for this.
Nine is not like it, that early.
No, but
it's a beautiful flow because there are early morning risers. And that's why I like we usually have Camp Sativa and Camp Indica. Do you want to be quiet and in the bed at night or do you want to be up and having a good time doing some things with your friends? And so many of the up all night friends still came for yoga and the sound
like
bath and the
people.
Coffee in the morning, and I was like, you are all my people.
I mean, that just sounds, I wouldn't miss that if I came to Camp Canna. It doesn't matter if I didn't get any sleep at all. I'd be like, sound bath, yes please.
It's the perfect
and
way to start the vibe of the day.
I'd just go for a nap later.
And then everybody's so chill. And then we do the Canna Olympics in the afternoon. I'm so excited to do the Canna Olympics in Ontario. I think that's so fun.
What happens in this Olympics, this Canna Olympics?
Well, it's a...
Is it smoking competition?
No. So it's not about consumption. It's about the skills that you have as a consumer. Things that you don't often think about. Examples. In previous rounds, we had a hurricane simulator because if you can't light a doobie in a hurricane, are you
okay,
even...
Okay, what was this? What did this look like?
It was...
We built it ourselves.
It is three patio domes. Okay, I say the two of us, but it was also Ryan and Graham. Shout out to our voluntolds in life. Appreciate you guys with our whole hearts.
Yeah,
it was three glass
patio doors. The back we had a poly sheet to make the door, and we had like this industrial Velcro, and then we had a blower coming in. Like, we actually looked up the logistics of how you make a hurricane like money machine. But we didn't want a spiral with the wind, because then you can get in the middle of the spiral. We wanted the wind to come up and get you on every angle. So we had wind coming from the top and the bottom.
Via fans?
Yeah. Carpet fans on the bottom. And
Yeah. And that's everybody incredible. Went in, and it was like, the first person was like 10.4 seconds, I think. Maybe even longer.
I think it was maybe almost 12? 17 seconds. The very first couple people that went in, they had a really hard time, and it started playing in the nerves in the
it's
line.
It's because they were
You watch the line get nervous and watching them.
They were looking for a flaw in the machine. They were, like, moving the doobie to the corner of the wall to try to, like,
And of course we're going to think of the corner.
Instead of just going for it. Instead of just going for it. Like, yeah. You know how to light a doobie in the wind. We've been
I
doing
don't
it.
Really.
No?
You can light a doobie in the wind.
Next time when he's in Alberta, we're putting her in the machine.
We smoked doobies outside the Can-Expo last year, and it was so windy. You remember?
I know, but I need help. It's not a one-person activity. Or I can, but like I contort my body in crazy ways to make sure that there's no possible like air getting.
Yeah,
because it's what really you gotta do.
The first person that just went for it, shout out Amanda Breeds. She went for it, got 4.8 seconds, like blew the time out of the water.
And then everyone's seen that, and then it built their confidence again, and they all started getting really good
4-minute mile.
Times.
Yeah. And I remember playing the Can Olympics before Camp Canna was a thing. We did it for Jolene's birthday. And the very first time we ever had a blindfolded rolling, like a...
It was my favorite. It's always
we blindfolded me. Ourselves, and then we were rolling, and it's a quality round. It's about the best quality doobie.
Except at Camp Canna, we do it, like, face-off, and we make it intense. Yeah. When we did it as friends, there was a bunch of busters, but not as much as every people. There's some piles of weed and some papers. Everyone at the table was blindfolded.
It was bad. It was so
and one unsafe. Person was refereeing, and yeah. It was the most hilarious thing we ever watched back in our life.
You but need I to record that shit next
I couldn't
time.
Roll a doobie.
Put a phone like that over top of it.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And that's an ad. Like, make that a reel. That's so funny.
That's
everyone
so
grabbing.
Funny.
Like, that's a real weekend. That's an ad right there.
Even just trying to feel, like, on some papers, they don't come out glue, glue, glue. They go glue, paper side.
Yo, you got to see these papers that this cool, nice guy gave me today. He's at the show. These are these matches.
I did
not.
Zootopia?
Yes.
Also,
right here. Is this like a fucking free commercial right now? That was the most perfect
Shout
moment.
Sophia.
Did you try them?
Not yet.
Should we roll one?
Very pretty packaging.
Dude,
oh wow!
This is so crazy. The sticking is so nice.
What is the glue made of?
I don't even know.
Special filter tips.
And see, you can custom.
Mm-hmm. Actually, shout out Topia because they sponsored our Can Olympic Games that we're playing at Can Expo.
No way.
For real.
Shout out. What a sweetheart.
So all the papers that the contestants are going to be using in the games are these ones.
Lucky.
So it's
good. It's fun. It's good fun. No, these are really good. I was like, I licked it and like tried it and stuck it together because I'm big on like how the glue sticks. And yeah, good. Shout out. That's fucking sick. I like them. And I love that the packaging.
Yeah.
Like it's so classy.
Yeah, I like it.
And they are unbleached and it is the Arabica gum.
That's what's up. Shout out.
What's something that you know now that's impacting your life in a positive way that you've learned just like maybe in the last year or so?
Sometimes you just gotta breathe. If you've ever seen a boiling pot of water, it's really hard to see the bottom. And in most situations, whether it's anger, frustration, any of the emotions that live inside our head, you really just got to breathe through it for a moment and gain that full perspective.
And that's something that has just, you've just been implementing recently?
No, but it's a big one and it's, I feel like it's always developing. Do you know what I mean? Like a habit is not just you started that one day and it became your life and you do it every day and it makes you feel good. You have ebbs and flows, days where it didn't work for you, where it was hard, where it didn't feel right, and you find through working through your ebbs and flows where it does become a routine and an essential part of your life.
Sick.
Beautiful.
Nice.
That's good. I like habits.
Yeah.
I like positive habits. I like when they become easier.
Mm-hmm.
That road to that moment is a tricky one.
Mm-hmm.
Been trying to create like a true night routine for like a year for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like 100% at least a year, and I still still fall asleep on the couch.
It's
crazy.
It's worth it though, because
when the pursuit?
The pursuit's worth it. You will eventually get it, but it becomes the exception. So, like, when you fall asleep on the couch, you're like, oh, naughty me. Well, at least that's you true. Have that. Mm-hmm. That's your contrast. Yeah. That's good, so.
Yeah. What about you? What's something that you know now that you've learned recently and it's impacting you positively?
I can do it on my own, but it's okay to lean on people. I think it's important to lean on people. I was tapped into hyper independence for a long time. Definitely, like, I just need to do it. Let's just get it done. I'll just do it myself. But, like, this battle that we're on in the cannabis industry, not battle, this journey, this, like, uphill climb up to the top of the mountain.
Jungle adventure.
Mount Dignified Consumption is not one that you can do alone. You have to pull on other people for a multitude of things. Education, strength, all sorts of things. Support. And I think that in the last year, I really started tapping into leaning on other people in my community and not feeling shame about it, you know? Like, it's okay to call someone and just talk about it, you know, and figure it out. You don't have to keep it all in your head. And I think that that's, like, important for, like, what we're trying to do. And in life, in general, being cooped up.
And you're such a wonderful giver of that, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you want to, like, go over things or talk about it. So thank you. Mm-hmm. You are also being what you, that value that you learn. That's beautiful.
What about you, Eleven?
Yeah.
What have I learned?
Yeah, recently that you've been implementing. Is it journaling?
Hey, I'm done. There's no more learning.
Whose podcast is this?
I was going to say, I have no more learning. I know everything. So there's no more learning to That's do. Old. Now I know it. No, I'm just kidding. That's an ick. Joke.
No more learning is an
Yeah, stop asking questions. This is our podcast. That's right, Winnie. Yeah. Fucking, it goes horribly wrong whenever you ask questions. Oh, she just asked a question that you already asked. Okay, sorry.
She answered it, though. So I was just giving you an opportunity as the only male at the table to not feel like, you know, you're diminished over there.
I don't feel diminished. No, not at all. I'm just doing the sound. I'm trying to get the sound right. No, I don't feel diminished at all. And what I have learned recently, both of yours are so good. Might be in a similar atmosphere. But I think I'm really working on, I don't want to say non-reactivity, but like I'm studying stoicism basically. And I am like, whatever, like Tourette's. And so I've always had an issue with like impulse, like quick reactions, because I'm just like there, like 20 different ways I'm standing at the finish line, like most manifestations, you know, and the outcome of them. And I'm so quick to let my emotions guide my reactions. And because of intuition, that's led me to a lot of like really powerful performances in my life. So it's like a handy tool. But I think like different levels, different devils, different keys, different doors, different chapters, different lessons. So like this one, I'm definitely like just trying to see how fucking tough I really am, but if I can shut myself up for a minute before I get busy. And that's so recently I've made a lot of good headway on that under the guise of everything's working out. So like that, I've just been noticing the power of affirmation when if there's any uncertainty or experiencing anxiety, or I want to use that classic familiar power of quick impulse, that I remember like everything is working out.
So that's also been the theme of our Tuesdays the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, totally. And those have been helpful too. Those have been great.
Helpful.
I've been saying that to myself. It's always working out.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah. Especially, like, sometimes it feels patronizing when you say it and it doesn't feel like it's working out. But if you can really get on board and be like, I don't know, you don't necessarily need to, like, bog yourself down with the details. But if you can really be like, I'm open to this being the right path and me here in this moment is the right place to be and everything that's going on is the right things to be going on, and I'll allow it to unfold in a way that can surprise and delight me. Ooh.
Apologies.
That never happens. That's literally never happens.
That's never happened. That was the universe clapping for you.
It was. That was amazing.
That was very powerful. And in those moments, though, where it does feel hard when things aren't working out the way we want and we're trying to be positive, sometimes they are unfolding when you look back into a really beautiful moment in the future that had those doors
totally
not slapped you in the face or swept your feet out from under you, you wouldn't be where you are right now.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gratitude. You got to find gratitude with what's in front of you somehow. Mm-hmm. Each time.
Well, I'm grateful for you.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for you.
You guys. Oh my gosh.
I feel like we need to put a cap on this because the four of us could probably chat for like hours and we have some boundaries on sleep because it's Can Expo.
Well, we're together. We're going to have cappuccinos tomorrow morning, no?
Cappuccinos?
Are we going to stop that again or are we going to just meet there?
I think we got to meet there. Yeah, okay. What time are we being there?
Because I'm a romantic.
I have to go live at 9:30.
I'm being there for like 9:30.
Even 9, I'm thinking.
Really?
I'm thinking at 9, I want to be at the Starbucks across the street from Can Expo.
That's gangster.
Because then you grab a coffee, you have a doobie.
I like
you
that.
You go in, it's 9:30, I go live, you guys do your thing.
Okay.
Showtime.
Yeah. What time is it? It opens at 10?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be there at like 10:05? I'm kidding. That's good. Okay. No, I'm working out with my DJ tomorrow
like
morning.
Like four times today, Kelly and Kathy were like, you got to make sure he doesn't like do that like on the floor.
Do what?
Like, light up or fucking pretend to light up.
I got my Dabex. You want to hit my Dabex?
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? Just nothing.
It's vape. Dabex. Nothing.
It's a rocket ship.
Backstage in the green room.
Actually, Endgame did that when they won Concentrate of the Year at Grow Up. Inside this giant, what is that called?
Tent?
Yeah, inside the convention center, he was up on stage in front of everybody, and they hit their Dabex, and I was like, that's badass. That's nice.
This guy at O Cannabis two and a half years ago thought the consumption lounge was inside this area. And I have a video of him being like, they made a consumption lounge inside. He's smoking inside behind one of the stages at O Cannabis. It's at the airport. Like, it's a nice center.
It's like the Intercare Center near the airport. Yeah.
Yeah.
Folk,
and then he brings someone else in.
I brought Neem over, and then I blazed a joint. I filled up the air. I'm like, this is really nice to let this happen. And it was actually just a bunch of tables. I thought it was like a little cafe set up. I'm like, oh, they're just yet to put the ashtrays down. It was a little speed network setup area. And then so they came and there was at me and Nia. I smoked the joint, I walked around the floor. I'm like, Nia, I found the consumption lounge. He's like, word? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, come with me. And then we sit down and we're both smoking doobs and taking pictures. And we're like, the Zero Cannabis as an inside consumption lounge. And they're like, and that just
absolutely
goes to show
insane.
They weren't on their social media. So you weren't like really involved enough to even see this. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, okay, interesting. But I just fucking smoked a bunch of joints there. That was funny. And it was inside. And then I was walking back to the stage because we were doing some stuff on the stage over there. And someone was like, I'm just headed to the consumption lounge. And I'm like, no, I'm just coming from it. I just smoked a dude. Yeah, and he's like, no, it's outside. Where did you smoke a dude? I'm like, just over in the corner there where all those tables are. He's like, that's a speed networking area. You can't smoke inside.
You're speed networking with different strains.
There's no one. Exactly. I was getting all sorts in my brain, but I blazed a couple joints inside on a gig.
That's so fucking
and then
funny.
We went to, once I seen it, I went outside and smoked
it. Yeah.
We'll that was nice of you inside. To be compliant after you knew.
Yeah. What's that?
I said it was really nice of you to be compliant after you knew.
The whole thing about me not knowing is a blur anyway.
We're blazing inside for the seasonal sesh in the spring, which I think is so fucking cool.
It'll be so fun.
Cool. So yeah, tell the story. Okay, before we go, the story of the seasonal
but
sesh?
But also just, I want to quickly be like, my mom was like, oh my God, can we come? And I was like, yeah, but there's going to be smoking inside. So I don't think I'm not sure if you'll like that.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, what time should we pick you up?
So sad. Live stream it for your mom.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, so that's super exciting.
Seasonal sesh happening end of April, yeah, April 27th.
But yeah, you do the seasonal sesh for the...
The bud tenders.
The bud tender. It's yeah, a bud tender appreciation gathering.
Yeah.
I love that you do this.
And it gives the bud tenders, obviously, how we have LPs come and they share about their products, new products, old products, all sorts of products. And really, Alberta, everything is so spread out. To get to all the stores, you got to travel like quite a bit. Like it's actually a lot of man hours for a rep to go to all these stores.
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of beneficial for the LP to have all the bud tenders kind of together gathering.
And huge.
Then they go back to work. It's educational, but we like to offer something fun to it. So we did one in the winter that was like super amazing. It was like a masquerade ball. It was so fancy. Everybody got dressed up and they went all out.
It meant a lot to a lot of people.
It
you
did.
Heard that on Instagram.
Yeah, and then so now we're doing like a more like a spring speakeasy, like it's a comedy type vibe, and it's just gonna be like a mix and mingle, not like tables with the LPs like sampling you at a table. It's just like you're there to get to know them and chill with them and hang out with them. And I think that's so like
important,
and it's so fun to do, right?
It's
every quarter, it's something different.
Yeah, consumers can't really get that information any other way in that way because like all of the brands are staying so clean, so they don't get canceled on their social medias or their accounts taken away. So to have some face to face time with these brands.
Like, we don't close the door to consumer. It's a bud tender focused event. Mm-hmm. The consumers are always welcome. And I was amazed because the seasonal session in the winter, 300 people, we sold out. 53% of the room was consumers.
Yes.
They were showing up. Name another industry where you have an award show for employees of the industry. And all the customers show up to cheer them on. Like, I can't find another
one. That's the dream.
Like, that's what it is.
And a half. Like, that's perfect.
Yeah, a little more. 53%. A little more than half.
Over half.
But I think that it's, like, it's so cool. But also in a sense of...
It's rad.
Events that do close the door, you know, sometimes that's their spouse that they can't bring in. You know, like, maybe their spouse doesn't work in cannabis.
Fuck
like,
that. Yeah.
And so, like... I think we have to open the door. But then there's also, like, you know, the 40-year-old woman that wants somewhere to go with her girlfriend.
Totally.
And just, like, wants to smoke weed. And they want to come, too. And they learn about new products. And they go back home and ask the stores to bring in those products. Because they just met those people. And they're so cool. And I think that's,
FaceTime like... FaceTime influence can't
replace necessary.
It.
It's necessary. Yeah.
I feel like a beaming mother because... Look at her. She just said stats were cool.
I quoted a percentage. That's totally Jolene's thing.
That's sick.
Yeah.
You're rubbing off on each other.
Yeah.
I am so excited to see what you guys continue to accomplish. And I'm so excited that we're a part of one. We're doing seasonal sesh.
Thanks for having us.
April 27th.
Thanks for coming.
In Edmonton. Edmonton, folks.
We're going to smoke weed on stage.
There's still a few tickets left, but
is there?
Not for long.
Fine.
And if you want to come from Ontario and make a weekend of it, there is other cannabis events happening in Edmonton that weekend, too.
What? Yes.
Go look in the description for ways to follow these two, and then you say it
where
out loud.
Where can people find you? At Blunts and Beans, right?
Yeah, at Blunts and Beans or at camp_canna. Get your tickets for Camp Canada Ontario. I'm serious. This is going to be wild. It's all inclusive.
Yes.
It is. Just bring your clothes. Bring a pillow and a blankie and
three nights.
Towel. It's going to be so fun. Just take a break from your life for a minute. Like, we're all hustling. Like, let's just live for a weekend.
Okay. Let's do that.
Make an investment in yourself. Get a ticket. See you there. It's going to be so fun.
That's what's up, Camp Canna. We gotta show up for it. That was so nice. I love that conversation.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we were able to do this. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out.
And we love you.
Yeah. Have fun.
Keep showing up.
Keep showing up. Fuck, this is perfect thing to say to close that. Keep showing up. Love yourself. Love others.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Thanks,
guys.
Sweet. Puffing like a smoke-a-thon. Only hitting that hella bomb. Yeah, gotta kill a smoke alarm. We be puffin' like a puff-a-thon. We be puffin' like a puff-a-thon. I'm like bad boy, baby. Puff my main thing.
Yes, Terps in the nose. THC in my veins. CBG for the highs. CBD for the pain. Shout out every other element that we haven't measured yet, because education has been restrained. Why? You ever see something so true that you couldn't unsee it? Something that you just knew would serve you. Whether it be self-awareness, plant medicine, a lover, a career. That's what we get down to here. Welcome to Disciplined Stoners, the gateway drug to mindfulness. Spark up or don't, and enjoy the show. Glad you're here.